Imagine for a second that you build this brilliant little side project.
Right.
You know, you're incredibly proud of it.
Right.
It's an AI companion, like a digital friend that you've designed to have genuine, emotionally nuanced conversations.
That sounds pretty cool, honestly.
Right. So you test it out on yourself for just 2 weeks. You're having a great time chatting back and forth. And then, boom, the server bill arrives.
Oh, no.
You open the email, and the number staring back at you is just absolutely astronomical. Your stomach drops.
Yeah, that's rough.
In that single moment, you realize your amazing, cool idea is just completely financially doomed. I mean, unless you change your entire approach to how it operates under the hood.
Yeah, that is like the ultimate reality check for any developer working in this space right now.
Totally.
It's the moment the theoretical magic of artificial intelligence just collides with the very real, very unforgiving nature of cloud computing economics.
And that exact moment of panic is where our source material today begins. We're looking at a fascinating post titled "Mio Unit Economics: Why Every Tier is Profitable." It actually serves as the technical appendix to a much larger document called the Mio Manifesto.
Right, which we've talked about before.
Exactly. And today's deep dive is for you, the listener, who really wants to peek behind the curtain of the current AI boom.
Because it's not just magic, you know?
Right. We hear constantly about the capabilities of AI, what it can write, what it can generate. But today we are going to explore the invisible math.
The stuff that keeps the lights on.
Exactly. We are going to look at how developers are taking these incredibly expensive, money-burning AI models and engineering them into highly profitable, sustainable businesses.
Okay, let's unpack this. How did the creator of Mio go from an absurdly high bill to a profitable platform?
Well, so the creator of Mio had to undergo a fundamental shift in mindset. You know, in the software world, there is this bad habit of treating server costs as an afterthought.
Like, we'll figure it out later kind of thing. Exactly. Something you optimize later once you have millions of users. But they realized immediately that wouldn't work here. They had to treat cost not as an afterthought, but as a first-class engineering problem from day one.
Wow, day one.
Yeah. Every single feature they built, every line of code they wrote, had to be weighed against its marginal cost.
That sounds intense.
It is. I mean, they had to transition away from their early prototype, which was built on this wildly expensive system called OpenClaw.
Right, I've read about that.
And move toward a highly controlled, really purpose-built architecture.
So to understand how they solve this massive cost crisis, I feel like we first have to understand the anatomy of an AI's brain. Or, well, more accurately, the anatomy of its server bill.
Yeah, exactly.
We really need to know where the money was bleeding out in the first place.
The source document actually gives us a fantastic, completely transparent look at this. They shared real production data from a live day of testing.
Oh, wow. Like real user data.
Yeah. It consisted of 77 interactions, which translates to about 28 actual chat messages from the user.
Wait, 28 messages. That's it.
That's it. And when you break down the relative cost share of all the different things the AI is doing behind the scenes during those 28 messages, one category just absolutely dominates.
Let me guess. It's the actual talking.
You got it. The chat itself, the core large language model processing the conversation, accounts for about 59% of the daily cost.
That is wild. Nearly 60% of the budget goes just toward generating the actual words in the reply.
Yeah.
What makes up the rest of the bill then?
Well, the next biggest expense is this process called personality extraction, which eats up about 21% of the daily cost.
Wait, personality extraction? What did that even mean? Is the AI like taking a personality quiz?
Not quite. Think of it as the system pausing to figure out how it should feel about the conversation that is happening.
Oh, interesting.
Right. It periodically scans the recent chat history and asks, did the user just insult me? Am I happy right now? Am I annoyed? It's literally updating its emotional state.
I see.
Because that requires reading between the lines and understanding complex human subtext. You can't just use a cheap, basic AI to do it.
You need the heavy hitters.
Exactly. They have to call on a very heavy, expensive model, specifically Gemini 3.1 Pro, to maintain that deep, soul-driven emotional nuance.
Wow.
So even though personality extraction is an infrequent operation, maybe happening only a few times a day, the cost per call is incredibly high.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then after that, you have memory summary, which is the AI condensing the conversation so it doesn't forget what you talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
And that takes up about 10% 10% of the cost.
So just doing the absolute basics, thinking about what to say, figuring out how to feel about it, and summarizing the past takes up 90% of the budget.
Pretty much, yeah.
But what about all the other futuristic features? The source mentions text-to-speech voice generation, memory extraction, sending proactive messages, and, oh, something called embeddings.
Right, the flashy stuff.
Yeah. I would assume generating a human-sounding voice is incredibly expensive.
Well, the reality of the data is completely counterintuitive. All of those futuristic features are essentially rounding errors on the bill.
Are you serious?
I am. Text-to-speech voice generation. Only 3% of the daily cost. Memory extraction is 3%. Proactive messages, you know, where the AI texts you first, are 2%.
And what about the embeddings?
Embeddings make up less than 1%. They are practically free.
Wait, I have to stop you on embeddings because that term gets thrown around a lot in AI spaces.
It definitely does.
The text says embeddings help the AI search its long-term memory. Why is searching a massive database of past conversations practically free?
Because of how an embedding actually works under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Think of an embedding as turning a concept or a word into a set of mathematical coordinates.
Like a point on a graph.
Exactly. If the AI wants to find a memory related to, say, coffee, the system doesn't have to read through thousands of pages of text.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right. It just looks for data points that are physically close to the coordinates for coffee on a giant invisible mathematical grid.
Yeah, that's clever.
Calculating the distance between two numbers on a grid is incredibly simple math for a computer. It requires almost zero computing power compared to the heavy lifting of generating brand new original thoughts.
I love looking at it this way. It sounds like running the AI's core conversational chat is like running the central air conditioning in a massive house during the peak of summer. It just aggressively eats up all the power on the grid.
Yes, perfect analogy.
But meanwhile, generating a voice reply or searching those memory coordinates is like leaving a single LED nightlight plugged into the wall. You don't even notice it on the bill.
Exactly right.
But wait, I want to push back on this a little bit.
Yeah.
If generating human-like voice and doing complex memory searches are so incredibly cheap, why do we as consumers always assume that multimedia AI is inherently so expensive to run?
Mostly, we assume that because we lump all AI into the same category.
Oh, I see.
The massive generative engines required to reason, converse, and understand context are massive because they have to be prepared for literally any possible input.
Right. They know everything about everything.
Right. But the models that handle specific narrow tasks, like taking text and turning it into audio, they've become incredibly efficient and lightweight over the last few years.
So they just do one thing really well.
Yes. And because of these efficiencies, over 8 different versions of Mio, spanning over 1,000 interactions across different personas, the developers managed to drop the cost per message by 2 orders of magnitude from that original OpenClaw prototype.
Wow. 2 orders of magnitude.
Yeah, they got the average per message cost down to something nearly negligible.
But the text makes it clear that even a nearly negligible cost per message wasn't good enough to save the business.
Right, exactly. Because nearly negligible still adds up real fast when you introduce the human element.
People love to chat.
They do. If you were trying to offer lower price subscription tiers, even a fraction of a cent per message will bankrupt you if a power user sends hundreds of messages a day.
Right.
The fixed daily overhead, like those heavy personality extraction calls we talked about, those are predictable. But the variable costs, the air conditioning of the chat LLM, they scale up infinitely with every single message a user decides to send.
Which brings us to a terrifying trap for anyone running an AI company.
A huge trap.
If I love the product and I am sending 200 to 300 messages a day to my AI companion, that variable chat cost completely overtakes the fixed daily overhead.
Exactly.
The irony is, the more I love the product and use it, the more money the company loses.
It's a terrible business model if you don't fix it.
So if you can't stop a super user from sending 300 messages and you can't magically change the cloud provider's pricing,
which you definitely can't,
your only option is to change how you talk to the AI. Did the developers of Mio just tell the AI to use fewer words?
No, they tackled the problem with the release of version 0.1.4 of Mio, introducing a game-changing technique called prompt compression.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because they didn't just change the AI model, they fundamentally changed the instruction manual they were handing to it.
Exactly. Every single time you type a message to an AI, the system does not just send your new message to the server.
Wait, it doesn't?
Nope. It sends a massive system prompt bundled alongside it. This prompt contains the AI's entire identity, its behavioral rules, its recent memory, and its personality traits.
Every single time.
Every single time. Before version 0.1.4, Mio was sending between 9,000 and 13,000 tokens. Think of tokens as words or syllables.
Yeah.
Every single time the user hit send.
Okay, let me make sure I am visualizing this correctly.
Go for it.
If I open the app and just type good morning, the AI actually hears a 13,000-word essay reminding it of its birth, its personality, its relationship with me, and a list of things it is never allowed to say, all followed by my tiny little good morning.
That is a perfect analogy. That's exactly what's happening.
That seems so incredibly inefficient.
It is incredibly inefficient. So the developers realized their biggest lever for saving money was to compress that massive system prompt.
Right.
They managed to slash it by about 60%, taking it down from that 9 to 13,000 range to just 3 to 5,000 tokens.
Wait, I am genuinely confused by this.
Oh, what's confusing?
I have to ask on behalf of anyone listening who loves these rich, detailed AI experiences.
Sure.
If you take a 13,000-word instruction manual and chop 60% of it out, you are absolutely losing details. Doesn't the AI lose its personality? Doesn't it get dumber?
You would think so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they cutting that much weight without losing that soul-driven emotional nuance the manifesto is so proud of?
What's fascinating here is it sounds like it should break the AI, but you have to stop thinking of the AI as a human reader who enjoys a good story.
Oh, I see.
Prompt compression is not about deleting the AI's personality. It is about extreme linguistic and structural efficiency.
Hey, explain that.
Imagine typing out a full conversational paragraph. You are a very friendly digital assistant who loves talking about science fiction, and you must make sure to never use any profanity.
Right. That sounds like a normal instruction.
It is conversational, but it takes a lot of tokens. Now imagine converting that into a strict, dense data structure like JSON.
Like actual code.
Exactly. It might just say persona, sci-fi enthusiast, tone, friendly, filter, SFW.
Oh, wow.
You've just communicated the exact same behavioral boundaries to the computer, but you removed all the conversational fluff.
That is brilliant.
The AI model can parse that dense data instantly. It gets the exact same emotional grounding, but with far fewer words.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. It is like giving someone bullet points instead of making them read a novel.
Exactly.
And the financial impact of just structuring the data better behind the scenes must be massive.
It shifted the entire trajectory of the company. Because the system prompt is the largest chunk of data sent during every single chat call, this one optimization directly dropped the per message cost by about 35%.
That's huge.
And it also lowered their fixed daily overhead by 25%. They fundamentally altered their unit economics before the user even typed a single word.
So if that is how they stop the financial bleeding on the engineering side, we really need to look at how this impacts the business model.
Definitely.
How does prompt compression change the reality of their pricing tiers? Because ultimately, this invisible math dictates what you, the listener, end up paying for these kinds of services.
Well, the source document outlines a very clear, strictly bounded tier structure.
Mm.
You will notice there are no unlimited plans here.
Right, which is a very smart move to maintain predictable costs.
Exactly. They offer a free tier capped at 20 messages a day, a starter tier at 30, pro at 100, max at 200, and an ultimate tier capped at 300 messages a day.
Let's look at the difference between the pre-compression reality and the post-compression reality, because the data is stark.
It's night and day.
Before they implemented version 0.1.4, if a user on the starter tier hit their 30 message cap every day, Mio was actually operating at a negative margin.
Yeah, they were literally losing money on paying customers.
That's crazy. And the pro tier was roughly break-in. Only the absolute highest tiers were modestly profitable.
It was a mathematically unsustainable business disguised as a growing startup.
Right.
But after they implemented that 60% prompt compression, the math flipped entirely. Every single paid tier became profitable.
Wow.
That underwater starter tier moved comfortably into the black. And those top tiers, Max and Ultimate, went from just being modestly profitable to achieving what the author calls strong margins.
You know, reading through these maximum usage caps, it strikes me that this sounds exactly like the classic gym membership model.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. How do you mean?
Well, a gym sells you a monthly pass, hoping you only show up twice a week. If every single member showed up every single day and ran on the treadmills and used the showers at maximum capacity, the gym would go bankrupt, paying for electricity, water, and maintenance.
Oh, absolutely.
The source text actually points out this exact dynamic. It notes that max usage assumes hitting the message cap every single day for a month, but real-world usage patterns show people only average 40 to 60% of their daily cap.
That is a crucial insight into how these companies survive. It means that the actual profit margins the company is seeing are substantially better than even the optimistic worst-case scenarios they projected.
They're hedging their bets.
Exactly. They are financially planning for the gym to be at 100% capacity, but they are operating comfortably at 50%. The company gets to keep the difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there is another brilliant piece to their business model that the source calls the secret of progressive margins. We have to talk about this because this is the ultimate aha moment for me.
I love this part.
Why are those higher premium tiers so incredibly lucrative for the company?
It comes down to a disconnect between what the user values and what actually costs the company money.
Okay, unpack that a bit.
At the lower tiers, your subscription fee is going toward features that require hard compute, the LLM chat generation, the voice processing, the vision models. You are paying for the expensive central air conditioning.
But when a user upgrades to the ultimate tier?
When a user upgrades, they are paying premium prices to unlock features that have a near zero marginal cost to the developer.
Like what?
For example, selfie generation. Generating an image feels incredibly futuristic and valuable to a user, but it is computationally negligible compared to maintaining a continuous chat.
I never would have guessed that.
Or take priority queue processing users pay extra so the server answers their message before someone else's. That costs the company absolutely nothing to execute. It is just reordering a list.
Wow. The source also mentions unlocking NSFW content and extended memory as premium tier perks.
And those are the best examples of progressive margins. Unlocking NSFW content rules is literally just a developer changing a single word in the system prompt.
Really?
Yeah. It goes from filter on to filter off. It requires zero additional computing power. And extended memory relies entirely on those embeddings we discussed earlier, which we already established are mathematically simple and essentially free.
That is kind of hilarious when you think about it.
Hmm.
The features that feel the most premium to us, the ones we gladly pay top dollar for to get that VIP experience, are basically just the developer checking a box in the code.
Pretty much.
Almost 100% of that extra subscription revenue from a premium upgrade goes directly to their bottom line.
Yeah.
The most expensive features for the user are the cheapest features for the developer.
It's brilliant business.
So if this business is already profitable today, we have to ask, what happens to this industry when we look 6 to 12 months down the road?
The author of the post makes a very compelling case that today's margins, as good as they are post-compression, are actually the floor, not the ceiling.
The floor.
The industry is not static. There are three massive simultaneous forces driving the cost of AI down even lower.
Let's walk through those. Force number one, prompt engineering compounds over time.
Right. They already cut 60% of the prompt, but they aren't stopping there. The source details a future move toward a lore book architecture.
Wait, lore book? What does that mean?
Right now, even with compression, the AI is essentially carrying a massive encyclopedia of its entire backstory in a backpack everywhere it goes.
Just hauling it around?
Exactly. Even if you just say hello, it's lugging that backpack around. A lore book architecture is like leaving the encyclopedia at the local library.
Oh, I see where this is going.
The system will only retrieve specific backstory details on demand, exactly when they are relevant to the current conversation. They project this could cut another 30 to 40% of the tokens.
That's massive.
And remember, every single optimization applies to every single message from every single user. The savings compound massively.
Force number two, model costs are absolutely free-falling.
We talked earlier about how AI inference costs dropped two orders of magnitude in just the past 2 years.
Right.
The creator of Mio expects another 3 to 5 times drop in cost within the next year alone. This is specifically driven by cloud providers like Google dropping the prices of their Gemini models as the underlying hardware gets more efficient.
Which perfectly sets up force number three, architecture level optimizations, or what they call intelligent routing.
Mayo doesn't just use one AI model for everything. Intelligent routing means the system looks at your incoming message and decides how smart the AI needs to be to answer it.
Oh, that's smart.
They already send 90% of all conversations to Gemini 3 Flash, which is a much cheaper, faster model. They reserve the heavy, expensive Gemini 3.1 Pro model strictly for high-value operations.
So you're saying I don't need a supercomputer to reply to a text that just says, ha ha ha.
That is exactly the point. If it is basic banter, the cheap model handles it. If you tell the AI a deeply personal story about your childhood, the router flags that, realizes it requires deep nuance, and sends it to the expensive model.
Makes perfect sense.
And as those cheaper models improve over the next year, Mia will be able to downgrade even more complex tasks like memory summaries to the cheaper models. Every time they make that switch, it multiplies the financial savings across the entire user base.
So what does this all mean? If you are a consumer, you are looking at a future where your AI tools are going to get vastly more capable. They are going to move from basic rule-based memory systems to systems that self-optimize and actually evolve a deep, continuous relationship with you over time. And the crazy part is, because the underlying costs are plummeting so fast, you are going to get all of that without your monthly subscription price going up.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the financial trajectory of the AI companion industry is staggering.
It really is.
Within 6 to 12 months, the combination of prompt optimization, plummeting cloud prices, and intelligent model routing is projected to push all of Mio's subscription tiers to profit margins of 50 to 70%, if not higher.
It really is an incredible journey. We started this deep dive looking at an early prototype that generated absurdly high server bills and existential panic.
Yeah, that initial shock.
But by treating unit economics not as an afterthought, but as a critical engineering challenge, by slicing tokens, compressing prompts into dense JSON data, and intelligently routing tasks, they have created a blueprint for a highly profitable, self-optimizing companion AI.
It proves that the barrier to entry for highly sophisticated AI isn't necessarily the raw technology anymore. It is the ingenuity required to make that technology economically viable.
So the next time you are interacting with an AI or deciding whether to upgrade your subscription tier for a digital tool, you now know the invisible math happening behind the scenes.
You're not just paying for magic.
Right. You know, the heavy computing lift of the core chat, the near zero cost of the premium perks, and exactly why that starter tier is priced the way it is.
And it leaves us with an important philosophical question to consider. The source material notes that Mio is moving aggressively towards soul-driven emotional nuance and genuine relationship evolution.
Yeah.
If the unit economics of providing a highly personalized, emotionally nuanced digital companion eventually drop to mere pennies a month, what does that mean for the broader human attention economy? When a perfectly attentive, infinitely patient digital friend costs a company less to run than leaving a porch light on, how will that reshape the way we value real-world human connection?